Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com.
Tennessee sounds perfect.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
Big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. We are coming to you on the road and, in at least my case, incredibly cartoonishly sleep deprived. Shout out to super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
Who do you sleep?
All right. Okay.
Well, you guys know I'm trying out a new little funny buzzy word at the beginning of it. I'm going with hootie hoo today, just to represent Atlanta. But I don't know. It might change. It might be the same. I gave up hoorah. Hoorah. Damn it. Ugh. Carry on.
Remember, ooh, baby, baby, it's a wild world.
I'm getting riled up. I'm getting riled up at the top of the show today.
They call me Ben. With me, as always, is Mr. Noel Brown. This is Ridiculous Royal Deaths Round 4. And just for full disclosure, folks, we know there's been a lot of unfortunate news about the royal family of the United Kingdom. We're not making light of that in any way. You can get some updates on that with various other shows we have done, such as Stuff They Don't Want You to Know and hanging out with our pal Gandhi on Sauce on the Side.
Yeah, and speaking of stuff that I want you to know, this isn't anything to do with today's episode, but there is going to be a fun update to a classic Ridiculous History episode about the curse of Colonel Sanders that has loomed over the Japanese baseball team. I believe it's the Hanshin Tigers for many, many years because somebody took a Colonel Sanders statue outside of a KFC in Japan and threw it in a very dirty, nasty river. And as we know, baseball is probably one of the most superstitious of sports. Anyway, superstitious hilarity ensued, and now apparently there's been a bit of a break.
And people really do believe that. You guys know I spend a regular amount of time over in Japan, and I was startled to run into baseball fans who absolutely believe this. I don't know if I told you about mm-hmm. when I ran into some baseball fans. I had a Braves hat on, and I was just at, you know, like a nice little ramen spot, and these kids who were a little younger than me were hugely into baseball, and I was able to hold the conversation. Max, you would have been proud of me. I was able to hold the conversation for about 15 to 16 minutes, but they knew all the stats. They knew everything. And eventually I was like, guys, I'm sorry. This is the extent of my knowledge of the Atlanta Braves.
Well, I mean, you know, exports, two of which are Kentucky Fried Chicken and the sport of baseball. It does seem that Japan, when they kind of, you know, take those kinds of things on, a lot of the American words sort of become like locked in, tied to it. So you can probably, with your basic knowledge of Japanese and then, you know, throwing around some baseball buzzwords, you could probably get by for a while, as you well did. That's amazing.
I want to give a long overdue shout out to our pals across the pond, Toshi, Yoshi, and two guys named Ken.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to point out that right now in the background, I'm setting up my probable starters for this weekend, my fantasy baseball league. Well, one of my six fantasy baseball leagues.
Dare to dream, bro. So
I'm sorry, is it me or is fantasy baseball? It's always sound a little erotic. I don't know why. You know, I'm just picturing naughty stuff going on.
It's like the pleasures of gravity, right?
You almost made me spit.
As a writer and a comic, I tend to think everything's dirty, but well, we'll get to that.
Gravity pleasure ride. We'll get to that later on.
Boy, yeah. Will we ever.
What did I say? Something in the eyes.
All apropos of nothing. Today's episode isn't about any of these things, but it is another of our famous Royal Death Listicle episodes.
Right,
and
yeah.
You did tease that with the disclaimer, which I think was absolutely fair.
Yes, yeah. And we have to admit, you know, existence is tough, even if you are a prince or a duke or an aristocrat, you too will be mortal.
A Scottish king.
Right.
Mayhaps.
Everybody from pauper to prince, from peasant to monarch, everybody is human. So look, a lot of time has passed. When we talk about royal deaths, strange, ridiculous royal deaths, we do try to focus on people who have passed away a long, long time ago. And as we said in our very first installment of this, it's going to be a continuing series. I don't know. What are you saying, Noel? You want to just dive in since we mentioned Scotland?
We must. Well, yeah, a Scottish king. Yeah, a prince, a duke, a pope. We are, in fact, all human. King Alexander III of Scotland weren't we talking a little bit about horniness? Slightly, we were, with the fantasy and stuff.
I always am. Well, yeah.
I know, it's okay. He was ready. He was single and ready to mingle. Well, not necessarily single, but he was definitely ready to mingle. He was in quite a rush to get to the deed, let's just say. But let's just start from when he was born. Alexander the Third, born September 4th, 1241, died March 18th or 19th, somewhere there in 1286, near Kinghorn, Fife, Scotland. He was the king of Scotland from 1249 to 1286, and the last major ruler of a dynasty of kings descending from Malcolm III of Canmore, who actually consolidated a lot of the royal powers in Scotland.
And Alexander did the right thing as a monarch. He left his kingdom with its own autonomy. It was independent. It was prosperous. It was united. And Scots, looking back, would think, man, Alexander ruled over a golden age. And it's just a shame that after he died, we got in this long, protracted, bloody conflict with England. King Alexander II had one son. And this kid was named, in a burst of creativity, Alexander III. And
yeah,
we know monarchies and meritocracies may have a bit of a Venn diagram, but merit is not the way you become monarch. The way you become monarch is based entirely on your familial relation to the previous monarch or a bloody battle. So weird things.
Yeah, that blood or, you know, the bloody.
The inside blood battle. Or the outside blood. Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
So Alexander III, it turns out, he is only 7 years old when he becomes the king. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say maybe he wasn't the most qualified for the job.
And we see it, of course, depicted in shows like Game of Thrones and such, where these, you know, small children that are presiding or reigning over these massive empires. And often what you end up seeing in those situations is the real power is the power behind the throne, in the advisors and perhaps a mother, you know, or a close relationship that's kind of whispering in the young king's ear and getting them to kind of do their bidding and sort of steering things from the shadows.
Right, right. Exactly. And this is where we get to one of my favorite words that I learned from Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy, which when that film finally comes out, it's going to be amazing. It is.
It's going to be gnarly.
It's got one of the best villains in all of English literature, the English language. So anyway,
Judge or
yeah,
something?
Judge What's Holden. Yeah. That's right. Oh God. Absolute monster. Actually gave me nightmares reading that. But so this word is suzerainty. To be a suzerain means to have dominion over something in practice, if not in name. So you might not have your stamp on the maps or the money or the paper, but you control an area. So Henry the Third, he recognizes an opportunity, you know, and he says, look, I'm gonna engineer a political marriage. We're going to do an arranged marriage of children, and this will be my way to gain control over Scotland. And so In 1255, a pro-English faction in Scotland grabs little Ali III, Alexander III, and then 2 years later, an anti-English faction gets the upper hand and they control the government. So Alexander is safe. They safeguard him until he comes of age in 1262. The year after that, he fights off an invasion by a Norwegian king who's got a really cool, like, Dune-esque name, Håkon IV.
Håkon IV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, excuse me. I had something in my throat.
Right.
Go on.
And this guy, Håkon, has a son named King Magnus V. And in 1260...
I love Magnus. What a strong name Magnus is.
Yeah. Yeah. And for a while, these guys, the Norwegian line, they were controlling some islands along the west coast of Scotland. Really beautiful places. The Isle of Man and a couple other ones. So eventually, Magnus cedes control of those islands to Scotland, which is why they're part of Scotland today.
Side note, do you guys know who Magnus is in Skyrim or the Elder Scrolls?
Yes.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Well, he's Miss Honey's father in Matilda, and they make him speak from beyond the grave to freak out the Trunchbull. Sorry if that was any minor spoilers for Matilda.
You're talking about the Staff of Magnus.
I have the Staff of Magnus.
Yeah. There's the Eye of Magnus.
And there's Magnus Septim.
Yeah, so Magnus was the architect of Lorcan's world scheme, which was, you know, which is Mundus, which is the universe. Right.
But he's the god of magic, I think.
Magic. But so like all the Aedra had to put a lot of power to make it.
Literally everybody right now.
Three people are very happy about this. They're just all on air right now.
Yeah, Magnus was just so strong that he was the only one of the Aedra to say, nah, I'm out. So he backed out. And by doing that, he ripped a hole through the Mundus so that magic could leak into Mundus from Aetherius. And that is the sun.
Wait, did you say Aedra? Is Aedra different than Daedra?
They're different.
Okay. Aedra and
Max, this is important. I don't want this to get lost. I met a guy who worked at Bethesda and helped build Skyrim last night. He was so cool. Noel, you met him too. Awesome. Our buddy John.
That guy.
Yeah,
with shout the hat. Out John. Yeah, the cool Basquiat hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now back to the show we were doing. So if you get talked about in one of these episodes, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the back and forth of a lot of Western European conflicts. Here's the deal. This is royal deaths, fellow ridiculous historian. So if you get mentioned in one of these episodes, that means you did not die in a fun or clean way.
No, he is of age now, right? Like, I mean, at least our little fellas, he's all grown up. So at least we're not talking about like killing kids or anything, which I'm not saying that's off the table entirely. If it happens, it happens.
As soon as you come of age as a monarch, then your next job is to make more kids, right?
Yeah.
You got to ensure the bloodline continues. Alexander did have three kids with his first wife, who unfortunately she passed away in 1275. And then all of his children from that marriage had also passed away by 1284.
Oh, we're getting getting
that from Samantha Arrowsmith for Mental Floss.
Remember that part, and also love Samantha for her writing and her incredible last name, which is spelled not like the band, because they're the Smiths of like aerospace. This is like an actual aerospace.
R-O-W.
But I didn't remember the part about all of his kids dying. Jesus, man.
Yeah.
What a bummer. And so now he's really in desperate need to produce that heir. A situation arises where he might just have that opportunity.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
If we've learned anything in the process of doing this podcast, just living life, it's that there's always a catch.
So when we heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month if you get a three-month plan, we looked at each other and we thought, nah, what's the catch?
But here's the thing. In this case, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online.
Yeah, they cut out that middleman cost of retail stores and they pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. We're not joking. We have tried out Mint Mobile ourselves and it's super convenient. And it actually, like, we tried to find a catch and there's not one.
So to get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan.
Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Yes, he marries Yolande of Dreux in 1285. And he is feeling, you know, I hate to make it sound like a Lifetime movie. You know, in Lifetime, there's always like the hard-nosed businesswoman main character who travels back to her small town and she feels like her biological clock is ticking. That's what's happening to Alexander III. He's like, I need to make babies. Strong preference for a dude. And so he is trying to travel to Yolande and make children as quickly as possible. And he's not cautious about it.
It's interesting. It's for her birthday. So presumably he's trying to get to her to surprise her with birthday sex. Like, is this like going to be a special date night situation? Like, I guess I don't fully understand the significance of it getting to her for her birthday.
But it also feels like he forgot her birthday, and that's why he has to rush.
Right. Maybe he'll dress himself up as a present, as a sexy present, just so that she can unwrap. That's very rom-com. That can happen.
Exactly. Yeah. So so here's what he does. He does something that's not super smart at the time. The queen is at Kinghorn Castle in Fife, and he is rushing from Edinburgh post-haste and to make good time to get there punctually, he travels through the night. And traveling at night, even if you're king, one could argue, especially if you're king, is pretty dangerous at this point.
Yeah, we take that for granted, don't we? The idea of like headlights and such, you know, and street lights. You're traveling through some rough terrain, you know? I mean, a horse could twist its ankle and send you, you know, tumbling down a hillside or whatever. At first, when I was hearing this, I'm like, oh, no, he didn't get wet and die of a common cold, did he? Like that one president taking his night walks. Nope. But still, not too far off in terms of very preventable things.
Yeah, here's what happened. All of his guides, his entire entourage is going, buddy, we get it. You know, we felt the force of the horn ourselves, right?
Yes. And so the horn, yeah, it's calling. Like,
but reason must prevail. You know, think with your other head. He doesn't listen. So he travels. He noctivigates. He travels by night. He is separated from his guides. And he disappears. They don't find him until dawn the next day. He has indeed fallen off a cliff. His horse stumbled in the dark, threw him over the edge.
And, see, I was just guessing. That could have been one possible scenario.
And he broke his neck. And it's probably because he was making the horse go faster than the horse needed to go, you know?
It's kind of embarrassing, really. I'm sure when you get found like that, you're not looking very kingly. It's a little better than dying on the commode, but it's pretty unbecoming, you know?
You know, if he had died on a commode at that time, they would have been fascinated because it would have been a future yeah. device. It would be the first time they had seen a commode, too.
Oh, that's fine. Sorry. Yeah. The cue George Washington theme music. Sorry, if we haven't said it on this show, on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, we have a very ridiculous history ongoing sketch series featuring Ben as George Washington traveling through time.
Oh,
maybe we'll have to feature a commode one of these days.
Yeah, that would be mind-blowing. I'm also excited for you to teach him the latest in virtual reality. We can't
yeah,
say anymore.
That's a new one coming out. It might be out already by the time this episode hits.
And you can check that out on our Instagram for Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. So let us know. Yeah, I can't believe I mentioned that before. Yeah, with great music by Mr. Matt Frederick.
Oh, God, what an earworm and a banger it is. But Ben, as we know, when it comes to royal deaths, whether, you know, dignified or otherwise, it tends to leave a vacuum that is usually filled with a lot of creative and intense political jockeying, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, so... The king expires unexpectedly. He leaves no heirs, no direct adult heirs.
Yeah, that's what he was going there to shoot for. Ooh,
right.
Do with that pun what you wish.
Yeah, yeah. And so all of a sudden, there is a spurt of chaos.
Stop it.
No.
We're keeping it as his. So his next direct heir in the chain of command and inheritance here would be his granddaughter, Margaret, who is 1 year old when she gets to the throne. Again, not to be a jerk about it, but maybe not the best person for the job at this point.
Well, yeah. And again, it just leaves it open for whomever the baby handler is right. to take the reins. We don't really, it's funny
the
because a lot of times,
dynasty.
A 1,000,000%, but a lot of times it's not even clear who exactly that person is all the time, right? Because it's all happening like, you know, kind of beneath board.
Oh my gosh. Guys, I would love to do an episode about the inner life of harems in the Ottoman Empire. It is so fascinating. I think that's our next step of royal deaths, because what you just said reminded me, like the power plays and the, you know, the king in name or the queen in name.
Sure. What was the word again? Sousaphone? Suzerainarian?
Suzerain.
Got it. Okay.
And then, you know, things like in the Ottoman Empire, they had two different controlling forces in the harem. There's like the Kislar Aga and the, I'll get way into it too quickly. I'll be like,
I swear, if you guys start talking about Skyrim again.
I can't wait. I'm so excited to finally do the Ottoman Empire. But before we do that, we've got another unfortunate end for a royal. Also from Scotland. Mm-hmm. You've heard about James, but what about James too? The Jamesoning.
How come nobody calls him James the First? It's just James, I guess. You don't need it's not necessary.
They could call him James the First.
It does happen from time to time, I suppose.
We're talking about King James Bible, King James?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's actually King James, I believe, the Fifth. Because there are different lines.
Oh, right.
James in England
is not the same.
And Scotland, yeah. Well, this is King of Scotland, James II. And I love what you put here, Max. Of all the kings of Scotland, James II is definitely one of them.
Yeah, that's really funny. Not the he's not an Alexander II, you know.
No.
So he does unfortunately have a weird ending to his life. So we want to, you know, I'm glad we're bringing up the King James distinction. It gets confusing. It's like that novel 100 Years of Solitude when so many characters all have the same names. King James I, the King of England, cough cough Bible dude, is from the same line of the King Jameses that we're talking about here, but the first one after they merged the kings of Scotland and England together. Let's just fast forward. So like in Scottish terms, in Scottish terms, the guy we're talking about is King James the Sixth, basically. So Max, because you and I are friends and you're a research associate for this, I will quote you. He was King James the Sixth, meaning the Jameses we're talking about today would be King James -3 in England. Does this matter? No.
No, but you wanted to write it anyway. But guys, wouldn't it have been easier if they'd just given everybody their own unique, creative, flourishy name instead of all these multitudes of Jameses?
It would, but there's branding involved.
I get that. It's about the line, preserving the line.
They want to support the previous administration, basically.
It's like that Pope who had that cool name who made the calendar. And
Ratzinger?
His name is Greg.
No, sorry. That was another guy.
His name's Greg. That's why we have the Gregorian calendar.
Of course. Now, right. Greg. Kill Greg.
Not the Ugo Bonacampia calendar.
Right, right. Also, I will point out I've always suspected that's part of the reason so many ancient rulers would get a street name or a nickname.
Oh, yeah, of course. A nickname. Like Caligula was a nickname. Yeah.
Like, you know, like Alexander the Horny or Alexander the Bad Horse Rider.
Caligula was Gaius Magnus some shit. Like a lot of those other emperors were, and a lot of them did have their own, like Caesarion and all of these, like they were basically nicknames. That's a really
Ragnar the Red. I also like the ones that are clearly historical insults from later, where it's like, yeah, I'll just make one up, but you know, it's like Donovan the Midling.
Exactly. Stilgar the Fine.
Right. You know? The Just Okay.
Stilgar was from Dune, but I just think that it kind of works.
I mean, the best one was, there's one, it's like Ethelred the Unready.
Yeah, I love that one.
That's my favorite one, I think.
He wasn't ready for it. Check out our previous episode to see what we mean. So, okay, let's go to our pals at Britannica. They break it down this way. James II was the King of Scots from 1437 to 1460. Not super duper long, but pretty respectful in the grand scheme of things. And he came into a time of civil pandemonium in the first half of his reign, but he was able to turn things around, consolidate his power, and become, he was very good at the Game of Thrones,
sure, you gotta be.
Yeah, and he's bucking the trend because he, like a previous monarch, he becomes king when he's 6 years old because someone kills his father.
Oh, it happens. Tale is told this time. Someone killed me, daddy, and now I'm a small, tiny child king. Can we also just take a moment to say that it's neat that the kings of Scotland are referred to as being King of Scots, referring, I guess, directly to the people, which I think is just an interesting kind of like twist on that phrase. I guess the closest thing I can compare it to would be like King of the Britons, which I think more is referring to the land than it is the people. Are people Britons, or is that like, you know, it depends
on where you're from and what version of Elder Scrolls you're playing.
Stop it. No, we've moved past this.
All right, we're going past it. So I had, that was for you, Max. So because he is a boy king, there is this vacuum of power post-assassination, and what we see is the emergence of three would-be usurper families, the Crichtons, the Livingstons, the Douglases, and they want to take control of the young king to guide him eventually to sideline him so that they can be the power behind the throne.
We've been talking about that from the top of the episode. Now we're getting a little more insight into like a specific example of this kind of behind-the-scenes machinations.
Right.
And chicanery. So, did I use chicanery right? I think I did.
You did.
I think it's a political. It means political, like secret, kind of sneaky political maneuvers.
He also did some actions we would consider scurrilous. So it's the Game of Thrones stuff, right? The Game of Houses, as they call it in Wheel of Time, in that series, you hurt with one hand, you caress with another, and you manage these people, you manipulate them. So James assumes his royal duties, aka actually starts doing his job,
right,
when he gets married in 1449. Here's how he consolidates stuff. Some people he makes a truce with. He negotiates with the Douglas family, but then some other families, like the Livingstons, he just straight almost red weddings them. Like he dispossesses them of all their land.
Right. I mean, and you're not joking when you say they red wedding to them.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally. But
it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
He literally stabbed old William, the 8th Earl of Douglas, a bunch of times. And then he took all of their stuff, including demolishing, just absolutely destroying the Douglas castles, and took control of all of their vast land holdings and estates.
Yes. Yeah. And that's how the game is played, folks. This also is a huge financial boon for James, and he gets a little big for his britches. He's like, I'm pretty good at this ruthless monarch stuff. So he looks over at England, and he kind of has a hold my beer moment. And he says, you know what? Maybe those folks down south could use a little Jamesoning.
He's got James.
Yeah, I picture him using his name as a verb.
Yeah, why not? But who will know which James he's talking
about?
That's such a
douchey frat boy thing to do. Like, hey, baby, you want to get James?
You just got James, son. It could mean so many different things.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
So now, newly puffed up and emboldened, James moves on to phase two of his plan.
Yes. Yes. Phase two. This is what leads to his unfortunate end. Back to our pal, Samantha Arrowsmith. He is taking advantage of chaos. He's very little finger about some of these things now because he came up in that sort of game.
And Scotland's relatively chill, comparatively chill when looking at England.
Well, especially now, right? Because it's the war of the Wars of the Roses. People who maybe just watch the show Game of Thrones don't know this, but the author of the books the show's based on, George R.R. Martin, pretty much based his long series, Song of Ice and Fire, exactly on the Wars of the Roses.
Mm-hmm. And I don't really know a lot of the historical details and how they compare. I'm sure it does. And, you know, obviously, despite how complicated seeming a lot of the Game of Thrones stuff is, at least in the books and the show too, the real history is even more complex. So he's taking advantage of, just know that basically they're in chaos. There's all kinds of chicanery going on behind the scenes and, you know, vying for succession. It really is. Just think of the simplified version as the Game of Thrones plot. So he's taking advantage of all of this. You're right about the Littlefinger thing. He's looking at all this chaos as a ladder, you know, for me to climb and get what's mine.
Yeah, exactly. And just to be clear, at this point, he's not really thinking of the greater good of the people of Scotland. He is thinking of himself.
Oh, exactly. Oh, yeah. Despite being the king of Scots, you know, the Scots are secondary here.
He's kind of like the king of James. So anyway, he says, we're going to take back Roxburgh Castle, which was held by the English at the time. And this is 1460. So he says, all right. Guys, not going to lie to you. This is going to be uphill. It's going to be a long siege. So he brings a big, big army. They have a lot of artillery, and they have what's sort of his nuclear weapon at the time, his biggest gun, a huge cannon, a bombard cannon called the Lion. It's his favorite piece of armament, and he wants to show it off to the Earl of Huntly. And we're getting this story from a chronicler who comes later named Robert Lindsay. And the way Robert Lindsay writes it is that James basically said, hey, bro, come look at my gun. He went down and he stood next to the Lion, like the way you would pose in front of a statue for an Instagram selfie.
100%.
And then I'm sad we're an audio podcast because I'm doing some physical comedy. And so here's what
I have my fist on my hip, Mick Jagger style, and one leg up on the base of the statue with my other arm resting on it. You know
and
what I mean?
And there's someone else who's got like, they're pretending, you know, they've got the cannon between their legs and they're like, ha ha, look at my original joke.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever he was doing, he was very close to this and he's bragging to the Earl of Huntly. And then the Lion explodes.
Goes off, baby. With a bang. Oh my God. Really quickly, I hadn't seen this done quite this well until very recently, but in the new show, the new version of Shogun, there is a sequence, no spoilers, just happens at some point, and I can tell you who the parties are involved, where some people have occasion to get exploded by some cannon fire, and it is gnarly. You're getting your limbs knocked off, you're getting eviscerated. I mean, those things tear through flesh, like, to quote Mandy, like a fat kid through cake. And it's pretty insane what can happen with that kind of stuff. So what happens to our boy James?
According to Robert Lindsay, his thigh bone was dug in two with a piece of misframed gun.
Jesus.
That break and shooting by the witch, he was stricken to the ground and died hastily.
Oh, he died so very hastily. A very unfortunate end to, I mean, maybe appropriate, actually, because he was such a, you know, war hawk, right?
Right. And he's only 29 years old. And this is an ugly way to go. Right. And
basically, he's saying his leg was exploded off his body is what he's saying. Right. Right? His thigh bone was hewn in twain.
So he bled out, you know, and so he bled out and he was in tremendous pain.
Oh, sure.
And this means, an unfortunate pattern in some Scottish dynasties, this means that his heir becomes ascends to the throne at the age of 8.
Oh, yeah, gosh.
But he's not really driving at this point. He's got another pattern of people trying to control the kingdom through him. And hold the haggis. I just wanted to do that one.
Gross.
Have you guys ever tried haggis?
Absolutely not.
It's not that bad.
I'm sure it's not. It doesn't sound like it's that good either, but there have been a lot of videos making the rounds on social media, like where it's like a very bespoke restaurant kind of gourmet spot where they bring out your haggis to the table and it's basically like an inflated balloon of meat. And they it's like got steam where it's literally been inflated and you see them pierce it and it deflates like a ball bag. And it's despicable.
Isn't there a place over in East Line of Village you can get haggis? I know you can get shepherd's pie.
But
you can get shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie. Don't you dare compare shepherd's pie to haggis.
No, that's the thing. We always go there whenever we go.
It's just like they do like the soccer there.
Technically, haggis is a pudding. Gross. Just thought that would that make you feel even better, guys. Come on.
The blackest of puddings.
Yeah. What is life if not to be lived? You guys don't like Robert Burns? That's when they have the haggis. It's on Burns Day. Anyway, so why are we talking about this? It's because in our exploration here, we realized that we're making this entirely a Scottish Kings episode. There are more royal deaths that we're going to return to in Royal Deaths Part 5, but I think we found a very troubling pattern of getting to the throne a little too young, haven't we?
Oh, for and sure.
And dying too young, to be honest.
Yeah, well, again, you know, just this is basically the selfie that killed, you know? I mean, just also be careful around live ammunition when taking your Instagram clout videos.
Or when bragging to your earls, your earl friends and your entourage. And there are many, many, many more ridiculous mishaps in the history of various monarchies, which we will return to. Slight spoiler: we're gonna talk about a King John in the future. We're gonna talk about a couple of other monarchs you may not have heard of, and we're gonna travel to the Near East and the Ottoman Empire. I'm so excited! It's so weird. And in the meantime, we've got to give a big thanks to big thanks to our pal, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Kevin's the best. No, Kevin is a friend and listener to the show who we got to meet in person in L.A. yesterday for the very first time. And it was a lot of fun. We had a good time. Also, big thanks to super producer and research associate extraordinaire Max Von Williams.
Mm-hmm. First of his name. And some say he's the favorite Williams, but that's up to history, isn't it? big thanks, of course, to Alex Williams, who composed this track. Big thanks to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. the Quister, A.J. Bahama Jacobs, a.k.a. the Puzzler, giving everybody nicknames.
Absolutely. As it should be. How else are we going to keep them all straight, since they're all named James?
Right. Secretly, everybody we're thanking in the credits is named James, including Eve's Jeffcoat, whose real first name is James. She'll love that one.
We'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.